Hi everyone, welcome to another one of my podcasts. I'm actually dictating this from a hotel in Dubai of all places, and the reason I'm doing that is that I want to get this all safely put to bed because I will be out of the country again when this goes online on the 1st of July. I'll be actually on holiday in Los Angeles. Speaking of Los Angeles, I would like to give you a recording of probably the most famous film star of the 1930s. She's still alive and would now be in her mid-80s, probably just about a year younger than the Queen. And I'm speaking of Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple was, of course, a little girl back then, and she became the absolute darling of everybody. She could dance a bit and sing a bit and looked very cute. And as I say, she was just huge back then in the 1930s. This is one of her hit songs recorded in 1934. It may well be, for all I know, that this is just the film's soundtrack transferred onto a 78. It sounds strangely echoey to me. Anyway, here it is. It's a song that everybody knows. Probably more people know than realize they know it, if you know what I mean. It's one of those songs you sort of learn somewhere along the line and you don't know why you know it. It's called On the Good Ship Lollipop, as I say, recorded in 1934. And this is the ultra cute Shirley Temple singing it. In later years, she went into politics and became US ambassador to Ghana and then Czechoslovakia, of all places. However, this was an earlier innocent time for her, and here she is at the time when she first enjoyed world fame. Shirley Temple.
Animal crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits meet the loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl of soup I see, lions and tigers wanting me. I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup. When I get hold of the big bad wolf, I squish him under the ground. Then I bite him in a million bits, and I go pull him right down. When they're inside me where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup. Animal crackers in my soup do funny things to me. They make me think my neighborhood is a big menagerie. For instance, there's our janitor. His name is Mr. Klein. And when he hollers at us kids, he reminds me of a lion. The grocer is so big and fat, he has a big mustache. He looks just like a walrus just before he takes a splash. Animal crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits loot the loot. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl of soup I see, lions and tigers watching me. I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup. When I get cold on the big bad wolf, I just push him under to ground. Then I bite him in a million bits, and I go move him right down. When they're inside me where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup. When they're inside me where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup.
There you are, Shirley Temple. I'm amazed that I haven't played you one of her recordings before. Equally so, I don't seem to have ever played you a recording of one of the most well-loved musical variety acts ever to appear on the London stage. I'm speaking, of course, of Flanagan and Allen. Bud Flanagan, born 1896 and died in 1968, was in fact a distant relation of mine by marriage, I believe, and Chesney Allen, 1893 to 1982, was his partner. They did a sort of double act, but they were also a double act which was part of a larger group of various double acts known as the Crazy Gang. So they had a sort of double career as just a duo, as it were, and also part of this madcap revue which went on for years and years and was a favourite of the royal family. In those far-off days, it was very normal for comedians to also sing something sentimental towards the end of their act, or maybe at the beginning, and they were often as well known for the songs as they were for the comedy. I suppose the last in that line would be the redoubtable Ken Dodds, still performing his five-hour shows at the age of 83. Flanagan and Allen sang, and occasionally Bud Flanagan actually wrote, several of the songs that people would love because it told them of their own lives. It was songs about everyday life of working people. Amongst the most well-known are, of course, Underneath the Arches, Free, Hometown. Then they made fun of Hitler in the song Hang Out the Washing on the Siegfried Line. But the one I'm going to give you today is a song about an ordinary working man who mended umbrellas. And this is the song, it's called The Umbrella Man, and here are the wonderful Flanagan and Allen. Flanagan had a really appealing voice, and to be brutally honest, Allen really sort of grunted and spoke his words, but somehow the voices blended in a completely incomparable way so that you associate these songs with nobody else, and nobody else doing the songs ever sounds right. So, as I say, here they are, again back in the 30s, Flanagan and Allen, the height of their fame.
Umbrellas, umbrellas to men, men's umbrella lady. Umbrellas, men that handle ladies, umbrellas to men.
Toodle-loom-a-loom-a-toodle-loom-a-loom-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-toodle-a-to Bring your parasol, it may be small, it may be big. He repairs them all with what you call a thingamajig. Pitter-patter-patter, pitter-patter-patter, here comes the rain. Let it pitter-patter, let it pitter-patter, don't mind the rain. He'll mend your umbrella, then go on his way, singing toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay, toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay, any umbrellas to mend today.
When there's a lull and things are dull, I sharpen knives for all the wives in the neighborhood. And I'm very good. I darn a sock, I mend a clock, an apple cart, a broken heart, I mend anything.
But he'd rather sing toodle-looma-looma, toodle-looma-looma, toodle-lie. Any umbrellas, any umbrellas to mend today. He'll patch up your troubles, then go on his way, singing toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay, toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay. Any umbrellas to mend today. Patch up your troubles and go on his way, singing toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay, toodle-looma-looma, toodle-ay, any umbrellas to mend today.
Umbrellas to mend, umbrellas to mend.
Flanagan and Allen. Well, since I recorded that section of the show, I have now flown back to London. I'm back at my normal table. From Flanagan and Allen, a legendary variety double act, I'm now going to give you a pretty much forgotten operatic soprano. I've spoken many times over the months about the patent war which took place about 100 years ago between the various recording companies. Pathé, or Pathé as it's pronounced by English people, started off with cylinders, and so they were stuck with the vertical groove system, with a needle going up and down rather than side to side. They also had to avoid other patents, such as the needle being put on the edge of the record and going towards the middle. So when they went into disc production, they had to have a record that didn't play at 78, but more like 90. They started in the middle and went outwards, rather than the other way around, and the groove, as I say, was vertical, which means that the recordings are difficult to play. Nevertheless, they were the first big company to get into Russia, and I believe to this very day the Russian word for gramophone, which after all is a trade name, is Patefon, which was the Pathé's trade name for their machine. The vast majority of records that you see on the Pathé label, or rather label-less records, because the early ones had the title inscribed into the wax of the record, as it were made in France, but they did operate in other countries. The ones from Russia tend to be quite difficult to find, at least if you live in England they are, and you get a few from Germany and Austria, and also quite a few now and then from Italy. This here is a recording of Bianca Lenzi. I didn't know of her. She didn't have a major career, and I'm going to make no hyperbolic claims about her standing or ability. But she was a pretty soprano, and she lived a long time. She was born in Lodi in 1883, died in Torino, Turin, in 1978. She lived about 95. She was obviously a pretty girl when she was young, and she had a matching pretty voice. This is the famous Berceuse from Jocelyne, sort of a one-off hit for the composer, and this is a tune that is sung by tenors and, well, all sorts of voices, usually sopranos, but all sorts of voices do this one, and it's a beautiful tune. So let's hear her version. I have to apologize for the lack of normal sound quality, because it's really quite difficult to get good sound out of old Pathé records unless you've got some really expensive equipment, which I don't. Nevertheless, it's worth listening to. Sadly, a forgotten soprano called Bianca Lenzi, who I think only recorded on Pathé, so here she is. Probably recorded somewhere before World War I. My guess is about 1978, but I don't really know. Somewhere around there, here she is.
Oh,
Bianca Lenzi. She didn't have an international career, but if you listen through that mushy sound, there's really quite a quality voice in there, really fine lyric soprano. Let's hope that she had a happy as well as a long life. Well, here's a gentleman who had the long life, but certainly it wasn't happy. He was born in relative poverty. He wanted to learn the saxophone, but couldn't afford one and practiced his fingering on a broom handle until he was able to get hold of one. When he did get hold of one, he became, I think, one of the finest tenor saxophones in jazz history. But he was a troubled man. Apparently, he didn't get on with people. He certainly called people who were in the business side of it, people like promoters, producers, and record companies, parasites and vultures, which didn't probably make him the most popular of musicians. Nevertheless, he became one of the great players of his time. I'm speaking of Lucky Thompson. Lucky Thompson was born in 1924 and died in 2005. However, by the 70s, he'd already left the music business after performing in his early days with all sorts of people like the Erskine Hawkins Big Band, which was a wonderful band. I must play you one of the tracks one of these days. And then other swing bands like Lionel Hampton, Don Redman. And then in the Billy Eckstine band, where he came across Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker, he changed his style somewhat because he was obviously influenced by Coleman Hawkins, that's obvious, and had, if anything, a better sound than Coleman Hawkins, reminding me very much of Ben Webster. But he played solos that could easily have been on the cusp of being proper bebop, even in the early days. And later on, he went more modern and was definitely a bebop and more modern player altogether. However, he could play a wonderful ballad, which is what I'm going to give you here. This is a V-disc of 1947. He's playing an old 20s standard called Just One More Chance. And Coleman Hawkins himself couldn't have played a more interesting solo. One of the great underrated true greats of jazz, I think. Lucky Thompson and his tenor saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Thompson, one of the great tenor saxophones in jazz, I think. Well, now we're going to do one of those leaps again that I like to do in my shows. We're going to take you to a different form of entertainment completely. This is the British Music Hall of the early years of the 20th century. One of the biggest stars was Florrie Ford. I can't remember whether I've played you a track of her before, but after 50 shows, well, who cares? Florrie Ford was actually born Flora May Augusta Flanagan, and she was an Australian who was born in Fitzroy, part of Melbourne, in 1875. She came from a big family, and at the age of 16, maybe that was the reason she ran away from home to appear on stage at the Sydney Music Hall, adopting the name of her stepfather, who was indeed called Ford. Then, at the age of only 21, in 1897, this brave young lady left for London, and on August Bank Holiday 1897, managed to perform at three music halls, the South London Palace, the Oxford, and the Pavilion, all in one evening. There must have been something really special about her, because immediately she was discovered and became a star, and by 1903 she began the many, many recordings that she made, in fact over 700 by the end of her recording career in 1936. Now, there are a lot of beautiful women in Australia, I know because I've been there, but to be absolutely honest, she wasn't really one of them. She was a big woman, not particularly good looking, but she must have had a personality the size of a house. And she had a big booming voice that carried right to the back of the stalls and up to the circle and everywhere else, the gallery. She married in 1909 and was before long a top star, and she was very good at choosing songs to sing which would become absolute hits. In fact, many of them are known to this day. Down at the Old Bull and Bush, Pack Up Your Troubles in Your Old Kit Bag during World War I, after she'd already done a Royal Command performance. It's a Long Way to Tipperary. Those are just some of the songs, including the one I'm going to give you today. This is one of those songs about naughty men who pretended that they weren't doing anything wrong, but were hanging out with ladies and doing who knows what. It's called Put Your Hand Out, You Naughty Boy. She would sing these songs and then invite the audience to join in with her, and that was always a very popular form of entertainment if the audience could take part in it and get a chance to sing themselves. Well, she formed her own troupe in the 20s, carried on right until 1940, when she was performing for the troops during the beginning of World War II, at which point, sadly, she suffered a stroke and died in Scotland in April 1940. She was only 64. And, of course, in those days, I suppose, that was a reasonable age, but now it would be regarded as being very young. Florrie Ford, then, at the height of her powers, this just before World War I, 1913, singing Hold Your Hand Out, You Naughty Boy.
Hold your hand out, naughty boy.
Florrie Ford in 1913. Well, this last artist was born 2 years after her, and this recording is 2 years later, made in 1915 in the USA. I haven't played you one of his tracks since, program 4 or something. Probably the greatest baritone on record. He wasn't perhaps the most subtle of performers, though often there's more subtlety than one realizes at first. The reason for this is that he had the most enormous voice. They called him the Lion, and that's sort of the way he sang. His mezza voce was as big as most people's top notes, so that's why it isn't always apparent to hear the subtlety of his interpretation, but it was there all the same. The only fault in the voice was that it was one of those voices that was pitched sort of halfway between baritone and tenor. Indeed, he had a B-flat, which is really a tenoral top note. On the other hand, at the bottom of the range, he sometimes sang an octave above the written note to avoid having to go right down. But if that's the only thing wrong with a voice, well, what's left is pretty damn amazing. This is Tita Ruffo, born in 1877, as in fact Ruffo Tita, which was his real name, or the full name Ruffo Tita Cafiero. But he chose to turn those names around and be known for all his career as Tita Ruffo. Here he is singing the famous Act II aria from La Tosca, where he must frighten the dickens out of Tosca, singing this as Scarpia, the evil head of police. Già mi dicon venal, one of the great, if not the definitive versions of this aria, Tita Ruffo in La Tosca. Well, now, I see we have a little bit of extra time. This gives me a chance to play you a curiosity. Somehow, Tita Ruffo, who was of course great friends with the greatest of all opera singers, Fyodor Shalyapin, managed to send him a sort of little sketch that he wrote, which is supposed to be he, Tita Ruffo, talking to Fyodor Shalyapin over the phone. However, both voices are in fact done by Tita Ruffo, who is doing an impression of the famous Russian bass. I don't speak Italian, but from what I can glean from it, he just says, "How are you?" And then Shalyapin goes into a long explanation of all the illnesses that he's got and that the doctor doesn't understand anything and that sort of thing. I've heard a slightly longer version of this where you hear Ruffo chuckling at the end of it, but this one seems to cut off. But I think it would be fun. It's only a couple of minutes, and it's another side of this great operatic baritone's character. These people weren't just opera singers. They had a real life with a sense of humour. They had friends. They went out drinking and having fun together. And this is something of that. This is Tita Ruffo much later on in 1933. Shalyapin indeed died about 5 years after this. But this is a sort of comedy sketch. Tita Ruffo doing it. Here it is.
Ciao, Shalyapin. Come va?
Or ciao, Ruffic Malinche. La tua voce è straordinaria stasera, non t'ho mai sentita così bene. Oh, certamente. Tutti mi hanno tradito. La mia voce rimane così perché anche lui, vedi, lui, questo qui in basso, sotto il mio imbellico, mi ha tradito anche lui. Ecco perché io sto bene. Io non mangio più pane. Io non bevo più, io non faccio più niente. Ho il zucchero in sangue, il diabete, ho l'enfisema, la mia gotta, ho la bronchite cronica, poi ho la polmonite doppia. Poi ho tante cose che i dottori dicono, stupidi dottori, non capiscono niente. Poi vedi, mia signora mi guarda mai più, mia signora mi ha dimenticato. Tu, solo te, Ruffic Malinche. Boh, cosa vuoi, io sono vecchio, fra 6 mesi, sottoterra, Shalyapin, finito, morto, nessuno si ricorderà di me, porco Dio. Ma va là che stai benone, hai un sol naturale, sembra una cannonata. Sfido io, non faccio più niente, vedi, 6 mesi. Che non so cosa sia. Tu hai capito cosa? Ho capito, è quello che stai bene di voce. Oh, mi infotto io, la vita è una sola. Bisogna vivere, poi si muore, si sputa. E quando siamo morti siamo dei vermi, come dice Sette. Amare, 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 dopo vi saranno i vermi del sepolcro. Ciao, Shalyapin, io ti lascio. Addio, Malinco, addio, Ruffo, ciao, ciao, caro, ciao.
Well, now we've got to the point in the show where I've played you all the records except for my track. And as I'm sure you'll know if you're regular listeners, this is the point when I remind you please to pass on the link to my show just by telling people to look for Earl Oaken's Gramophone Show is the easiest way. But if you're emailing, it is earloaken.blogspot.com without 3 W's at the beginning. Just earloaken.blogspot.com, because, as I always say, there are so many wonderful bits of music on 78 in that period before there was even vinyl, and nobody seems to know about it. And those regular listeners will know how good the music is by now, but some of them may not. So please pass it on. Well, as I say, now it's time for my track. I've actually been writing a musical. I've forgotten whether I've mentioned this before. And this month, I managed to record some more of the songs. I'm not going to give any details about the musical away, except to say that this is a song sung by a rather hypocritical and not very nice Bible-thumping hellfire preacher. And he's attacking two of the other characters in this song and saying, "Only through me can you avoid damnation." I hope you'll like it. Poor Shalyapin died at 65. Tita Ruffo lived till 75, 76, I think. I'm already 66, but unlike them, I've never smoked and hardly ever drink. So I feel quite well, thank you. And my voice, likewise seems to be the same as it was 30, 40 years ago. Not that I'm a Rufo or a Shalyapin, but at least I'm able to sing the way I always did. Except that here I'm singing in a slightly different way because of the character I'm portraying. I hope you'll enjoy this song, which is called Follow Me, and I hope indeed that you will follow me, if in no other way than listening to my podcast, maybe subscribing, and as I say, passing on the link to others. So until we meet again, as it were, I'm going to say au revoir, with the extra message that when this goes out on the 1st of July, I will actually be on holiday in Los Angeles, which is why I'm preparing it now, right at the end of April. Till the next time then, ciao.
Sinners, better listen what I say. Sinners, I'm the man who knows the way. Follow me, follow me. Sinners, now repent or seal your fate. Sinners, y'all cry out, but it's too late. Follow me, follow me. My name is Crow, I seek all the pimps and whores. I take my rod and beat them right out of doors. It doesn't matter no how where you try to hide. You know damn well I'm gonna find you. Woe betide, I will keep my God alive. My name is Crow, all sinners I'll send to hell, where they can serve their master, old Satan, well. You deal with filth and vermin, boy, and down you go. Black horse is gonna come and drag you down below. Will keep my God alive. Blaspheming and a scheming, how to break all of the Lord's commands. So prepare for Armageddon, boy, 'cause that's where you is heading when the Lord raises his hands. My name is Crow, I know all your gambling ways. You rot like dogs, you'll soon set your soul ablaze. You cheat and whore and laugh and then call me a liar. The Lord will come and purify your soul with fire. Will keep my God alive. Sinners, better listen what I say. Sinners, or you'll all be dragged away. Sinners, gonna give you one last chance. Sinners, you can join the devil's dance. Oh, for